The topic tonight is when nothing works. So the Buddha said that the quote is something like, just as the ocean has one taste, the taste of salt, so too does this Dhamma have one taste, the taste of freedom. And so we hear this, and that's inspiring, right? That's inspiring, I think. That the practice is oriented around the creation of ease and well-being, of freedom. And there's an array of practices and reflections that are suggested. And so there are ethical trainings, codes of behavior. The Buddha suggests that there are some ways of behaving that are just incompatible with happiness. This is not possible to be happy when we're behaving certain ways. And then there's a component of mind training, meditation, samadhi. And then there's the development of wisdom. And we're given this broad array of practices and reflections with the interest of becoming more and more free. But what happens when nothing works? What happens when we're doing all that we can and nothing is working? We're still finding ourselves suffering a lot. And this is an important question. And in those times when we have those experiences, when we're trying everything and it's not working, it's very alienating to be told to do more. You know, it's like when maybe you're having a difficult time with something and somebody is, you're talking to somebody and they're more in the problem-solving mode rather than empathizing. And when nothing's working, to be told, do more, try harder, is alienating. But this is an important question of what do we do? Where does the mind go when nothing works? And often it goes to some kind of self-blame or a sense of there's something wrong with me. And sometimes it goes to there's something wrong with this path, with this practice. There's something left out here. And those are dangerous thoughts in terms of the continuity of one's practice. Because when we feel like we've hit the wall of suffering, that the Dharma, where the Dharma has no more relevance, or when we feel like we don't have any more capacity, that's the exit point for a lot of people out of practice. And I'm not saying that the answer is always more practice. I think many times when we hit this point of, oh, nothing's working, it's important to reach out and get support and to try new things. And sometimes it's totally reasonable to distract ourselves or seek our very reliable, soothing pleasures. It's not always appropriate to make it the sense of nothing works, to make that sense an object of practice. And so I can say in my own life, when I hit against some wall of suffering, which may be intense and it may be subtle, but there's still a sense of nothing's working. When I hit that, honestly, most of the time, I don't turn in to it. Most of the time, I look for a way to feel a little better. And maybe over time, over the years of practice, we start turning in more and more in these moments. I don't know. But there's nothing wrong with seeking to just feel a little bit better in those moments of nothing working. But what I want to talk about tonight are those times when we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We do want to make this a practice moment, an opportunity for Dharma reflection. So in these moments of nothing working, one of the real lessons is the depth of our vulnerability. And the sense of kind of, there's a helplessness when we hit that wall. So maybe we first try to get rid of the pain, and then maybe we try to practice with it a bit, and maybe we then really turn in, try to practice with it deeply, and it just doesn't budge. And we hit that wall, and there is this sense of helplessness. And we'll choose almost anything above helplessness. The human animal will choose almost anything. So I think about this with my dad, who is in a certain way kind of haunted by the vulnerability of his own body. And this probably comes out of his past. His mom, my grandma, died when he was 13. And he really cared for her as she became ill. And over the course of 2 years, her health deteriorated and she died. And he went on to study medicine and to do everything he could to try to get a hold on the vulnerability of the body. And so now, as he gets old, there's these experiences of coming up against this wall of a kind of the defenselessness of the body, the helplessness of the moment. And what I see in him is he'll choose anything other than that helplessness. And so what he does is he'll just find blame, and for him it goes to himself. And it's just like this spasm of self-blame. Anytime that helplessness is sensed. And this is his mind and his psychology, but I think it's a very common reaction is to go into the blaming mode. Maybe not self, but maybe other. When we hit that point of, I don't know what to do to make this better. So the instruction is to pay attention to that habitual reaction around blame, and instead to begin to open the heart to this experience as an insight. That in that moment of defenselessness, we're actually having a really important insight into what it's like to be human. And one teacher, Michelle McDonald, said often that people tend to miss this insight. We don't know that we're actually seeing something really important about being human. And so this moment is, it's humbling, but it doesn't have to be humiliating. There's a real difference. Sometimes our sense of feeling stuck can humble us, but sometimes a sense of kind of feeling humiliated arises out of that when we hit that wall. And this is a time for real gentleness as we begin to get some very deep insight into the first noble truth, that there is dukkha, there is difficulty. So this is Stephen Batchelor. In a contingent world, change and suffering are inevitable. To embrace the contingency of one's life is to embrace one's fate as an ephemeral but sentient being. As Nietzsche claimed, one can come to love that fate. But to do so, we must first embrace it, though one instinctively recoils at such a prospect. To steady one's gaze on the finitude contingency and anguish of one's existence is not easy. It requires mindfulness and concentration. One needs to make a conscious shift from the delight in a fixed place to an awareness of a contingent ground. There, I think, if only I could get there, then I would suffer no more. The groundless ground of contingency, however, holds out no such hope. For this is the ground where you are born and die, get sick and grow old, are disappointed and frustrated. The aim of mindfulness is to know suffering fully. And so this wall that we hit when nothing works is an opportunity to know the First Noble Truth, to be humbled and defenseless in the face of the First Noble Truth. And this practice of opening to that, there are many reasons to do this, but I think one of the most important reasons is that the capacity to open in this way to our life is very closely linked to compassion and kindness. To stand there with eyes open when nothing is working leaves a kind of mark on our being and becomes the ground for deeper and deeper empathy and compassion. That to experience kindness in a very alive, visceral way, we need to know this moment of feeling like nothing works. And in those moments, what we need more than anything is kindness. So this is a poem I've read before here. It's Naomi Shihab Nye. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow. or a friend. In these moments of nothing working, we can also open to the deep longing not to suffer. Dhamma Chanda. In the usual context of longing in Buddhism is, oh, this is suffering, this is clinging. But there is this longing for the Dharma. And in that pause of feeling like nothing works, it actually can become a deep inspiration for practice. And it's like, okay, right now things are very difficult, but, and I may not be able to find my way out of this immediately. But if we can keep our eyes open to that moment, it can give rise to the deep longing, like, oh, I want to structure my life in such a way that I wind up here less and less. That I wind up backed into this corner less and less. You know, sometimes I find myself, and it may not be a very intense moment of suffering, but I find myself clinging to something, and it feels impossible to let go. It just feels like it's not an option to let go. And some of the reason why it feels like it's not an option to let go is because I've been practicing clinging for so long. And so the motivation in that moment is not so much, okay, I need to be free of suffering right now, but I want this experience of feeling so stuck. I want that gives rise to the willingness to practice wholeheartedly, to really open the heart to one's practice. Longing for the Dharma. And these are also moments when we can practice surrendering. Not a word that I use too often, but it's a whole practice, and I was alluding to it in talking with Carol about surrendering to the radical openness of the moment. This is Eckhart Tolle. He says, surrender, one could say, is the inner transition from resistance to acceptance, from no to yes. When you surrender, your sense of self shifts from being identified with a reaction or mental judgment to being the space around the reaction or judgment. It is a shift from identification with form to spacious awareness. And so some of the time, when nothing works, we can practice surrendering. And this means loosening the grip on all of our views and opinions about what's supposed to happen, what would be good to happen, what's true, what's not. And we can actually do this. We can actually just allow the narrative of what's happening to be in the background, and it's like we open our being to the radical novelty of what's happening. We just open again and again to the unknown present. This present that is structured and constrained by our ideas, but we can surrender more deeply. And this means that we are no longer have the agenda to suffer less or suffer more. We no longer have the agenda to make things better or even to learn something from the moment. Like all of the ways that we might manipulate experience, all of the ways in which we might try to shape the moment, we relinquish those strategies. And then we don't know what's coming next. We don't know whether it's getting better or worse, or what may be learned or what won't be learned. But we're with the kind of quivering edge of experience. And this practice of surrendering is important as we try to rejoin life. That suffering and clinging and the abstracting mind effectively creates a sense of being outside of nature. That it's like the philosopher calls it the God's eye view. Not talking about this, but in another context, he calls it a God's eye view. And the sense of self is like a God's eye view. That there's a sense of us standing outside of life, outside of nature. And surrendering is a surrendering into nature. It's a surrendering in a way that allows us to rejoin life, with the sense of self no longer alienated. So these are some reflections when nothing is working. Let's just sit for a second. Just let the words settle.